We're going to turn over in our Bibles to the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew, the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 18. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost." And God will bless the reading of his inspired word to our hearts. I want to speak very briefly on the great subject of revival. At times, in serious situations and times of difficulty, we can discern that our God is marching on. And we rejoice in the march of victory of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we are called as Christians to seek the Lord while he may be found. The number of converts become enlarged. Fruit results from preaching in the vineyard of God, because God has deemed to do it. And to God be the glory. Great things he hath done. In times like these, there are certain questions that we must all seek an answer to. Question number one is a personal one for us all. Are you an enemy to God's reviving his work? Or are you a solemn prayer and pleader at the throne of grace that this may happen. Of course, the old serpent, that is to say the devil, is strongly opposed to revival and to an awakening among the people of God. When the new converts drink of the new sweet wine of divine forgiveness, there is rejoicing, a shout of the King amongst us. But the question must still be asked and answered, who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? To oppose the work of God, the Holy Spirit, is a very perilous thing to do. And it puts people, sinners, on the toboggan slide to hell itself. Oh, dear unsaved one in this meeting, I would exhort you now to flee, flee, flee from the wrath to come. Make sure you do not fight against God and thus damn your precious soul forever in hell fire, but rather call upon the Lord, for He will save you. Hallelujah! He will save you now. So we must warn you against becoming an enemy of God by opposing the revival of His work. Secondly, we should rejoice in revival and the promises that Christ has given that revival will come. Wilt thou not revive us again? The answer is, yes, God will revive us again. There's no doubt about it. There is no greater joy in all the world as a revival of true religion among the saints of God. The heavens themselves rejoice over one sinner who repents. But what is the rejoicing like in heaven when thousands of sinners repent and believe the gospel? Oh, my friend, if you're still a sinner, turn to the Lord now and let Him forgive you for your sins. Cry out for the washing in the blood of the Lamb, for by it alone you can become whiter than snow. Oh, let us all pray at this time for a great joy which will shake heaven and shake earth and shake hell, the joy of a revival full of glory and unspeakable power. God can do it. He's promised to do it. And we would say humbly and reverently, let it come. O Lord, we pray Thee, let the showers of blessing fall. We're waiting. We're expecting. Oh, revive the hearts of all. But thirdly, are you longing and desiring that the object of Christ's church will be fulfilled in such a mighty revival? The kingdom of God is nigh unto His people. There is a warmth in the hearts of many believers today to seek the Lord while He may be found. Upon the phone, in the streets, and in meetings, God's people tell me they are seeking for revival as they have never sought for it before. And they are earnest in their prayers when they kneel in their own homes that God would speak with power and shake our city and shake our land. And they are eager that they will crucify the affections and lusts of their heart, and they will conform to the keeping of God's commandments. For in the keeping of God's commandments, there is great reward. Oh, turn while the Spirit in mercy is pleading. Steer for the harbor bright. For how do you know that your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight? But let me say, and let me ask the question, do you pray every day and many times every day for a great revival of true religion? Thousands of God's saints are engaged in such intercession. I hardly, in my meal each day, don't have a request and an urge from believers who are praying at this time that God would visit his people with the sound and shout of an abundant rainfall. God wants us to sustain our prayer meetings with the cry for an old time, heaven sent revival. Let it come, O Lord, we pray thee. Do you remember Aaron and Hur? They went up the mountain. They didn't know why they were going up the mountain, but they went up the mountain at the command of the great man Moses. And when Moses got up the mountain, down in the valley, the three men, Hur and Aaron and Moses, they saw Joshua, the son of Nun. The armies of Israel, all in order and on the march, and the start of a tremendous battle in the valley. The battle of Israel, led by the great and holy man, Joshua, against the Amalekites. But Moses said, let us pray. And the great man Moses started to pray. And when he prayed and raised his hand, the children of Israel under Joshua, they started to win the battle. But, of course, Moses was 120 years old. He had been drawing the old age pension for quite a while, and he wasn't strong, and his hands got heavy. And he had to put them down by his side. And immediately he did that, the Amalekites started to gain a great victory. And Aaron and Hur built a chair of stone for the great man Moses. They sat him down on that chair to rest him. And Hur took one of his arms and hand, and raised it to heaven. And Aaron took the other, and as the arms of Moses went up, the army of Israel completely and totally destroyed the whole army of the Amalekites. Down they went before the might and power. And so they held up his hands until the battle was fought and the victory was won. Thank God there was one who didn't go up the mountain with Aaron and Hur, but went to the cross in loneliness, no one to hold his hand. But praise God, he was the captain of our salvation. And in that battle on the cross, he won the victory. And thank God the devil's defeated forever. The power of hell is broken. The armies of the devil will never, never, never win the day. We're marching to Zion. Hallelujah. The beautiful city of God. The battle's won. Let us go in and do what the children of Israel did. Take the prisoners. That's what we need to go in and do. Do you pray for revival? Did you pray for it today? How many times a day do you pray for revival? This is why God has not given it to us. We do not long for it. We do not pray God in the right way for it. Revival starts in prayer. Revival continues in prayer. Revival succeeds through prayer. If we would see thousands saved, we must pray. We must agonize. We must give our time, give up our sleep, give up our pleasures to plead with God for a mighty baptism of power from on high. In your house, at your work, every hour of every day, pray, 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 believers, because God answers prayer, and God wants to answer this prayer that revival will come to the church. Are you pushing forward in revival prayer? Only God can give the increase. It is not to mighty angels that God gives his strength. It is to those that pray the blessings of God down upon the people of God. Cry, cry, cry to God. He has bound himself by his promises to keep the commands of his people. You can write a letter and plead with the one to whom you send it to come to Christ. You can give out tracts every day going on from your place of business. You can speak a word in season to them that are weary. You can encourage and you can pray and cry to God and refuse to take no for the answer. We need haste to hasten to this job tonight, to come to God and plead with him that he'll send upon us an old-fashioned sky blue revival. That we'll see the pubs and clubs emptied. We'll see the apostate churches emptied. We will see the Church of Rome tottering to a nearly grave. We'll see the Pope running for his life. And we'll see the people of God abundantly blessed. Are you going to pray for revival? Are you going to give your heart and mind to this task? Does your heart pray every day for the fruits of revival? Oh, God wants to bless his people. God wants to revive his church. God wants to see the devil and his hosts chased. Oh, let us lay hold upon God and see his answer to our prayers. And finally, Have you sought to make it clear that if revival comes, and it will come, all the glory must be given to God alone. Glory in the highest to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The chief end of this whole matter is for Christ's glory, not for the glory of our church, but the glory of the Son of God. Let the holy fear of God's holy presence shake every one of us tonight. And let us pray for an old-fashioned, heaven-sent revival, that God may be glorified on this province of ours, and this island of ours, and these British Isles will shake with the mighty power of the Spirit of God. May it be so, for Jesus' sake.